Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
The social relief of distress grant has been a lifeline, as you know, for millions of South Africans. But recent comments from the finance minister are sparking a degree of concern, suggesting that without a VAT increase, the grant may not be funded in the coming year. Obviously, this is raising serious questions about how the government is managing the budget and whether alternatives to a VAT hike are being properly considered. Critics argue that the grant is already budgeted for and that increasing VAT, an indirect tax that disproportionately affects the poor, is the worst possible solution to a budget shortfall. So let me try and navigate through the weeds here. What's really going wrong? Are there better ways to fund social support without placing more pressure on struggling households? A person very well versed in this and well positioned to answer those questions, Neil Coleman, co-founder and senior policy specialist at the Institute for Economic Justice. So Neil, welcome, and let's start with a core issue. The finance minister's claim that the SRD grant isn't fully funded in next year's budget. Is that accurate?
No, Jeremy, it's simply not true. The minister himself was in Parliament last year on the 31st of October with the Director General of Treasury, and they told Parliament, the Finance Committee, that the grant was funded. And the reason for this confusion is that Treasury deliberately, because they are opposed to the continuation of the SRD grant, has deliberately sort of concealed the question of funding for the grant in the medium-term budget policy statement in the hope that they could persuade Cabinet to do away with the grant. This has been an annual drama where they have opposed the continuation of the grant, but on the instructions of Cabinet, it was included in the medium-term budget policy statement, and 35 billion rand was allocated, but under a provisional item in the 2025-26 budget. So in short, it is already funded, and it's there, it's provided for. There is no issue with financing the grant. The only issue arises is if the government implements the High Court ruling that the grant needs to be extended to the millions of people currently being unlawfully excluded, and that the grant needs to be progressively improved to realize the food poverty line, because it's currently, you know, at half the food poverty line. So the combining or conflating the issue of VAT with the financing of the SRD grant is a completely disingenuous move on the part of the minister, and is less about financing, and it's much more about the politics.
Well, that's exactly it, isn't it? How did the government paint itself into a corner like this, then, one's got to ask?
Well, you know, one's almost got to look at the shenanigans that Treasury has been involved in over the last few years. I don't know if you remember, in 2022, I think it was, or 2023, the Treasury made a presentation to the President at Spear Estate claiming that there was a fiscal crisis. And they led with this issue of the SRD grant, saying that if the case which the IEJ and our partners had lodged for the extension and improvement of the grant was realized, it would create this huge unsustainable fiscal burden. Let's look at what the burden is. 35 billion going to half the population, because research indicates that with over 8 million people receiving it and about 16 million dependents, you up to 30 million of the poorest in the country are benefiting in some way from the grant. It's 1% of the, or at most 1.5% of the national budget. And in fact, in Treasury's presentation in Spear to the President, they conceded that there was no other allocation that could get to people so effectively and efficiently. So on government's own admission, the grant is very effective at mitigating the most extreme forms of poverty and hunger. So the question then is, why would they oppose it? Why is Treasury opposed to it? And one can only reach the conclusion that it is an ideological objection, and it's an objection to resources going to the poorest of the poor, because it is locked in this ideological paradigm that this is wasteful expenditure, it's consumption expenditure. They don't see it as an investment. And what all the research shows internationally and in South Africa is that these income transfers have what economists call a economic multiplier impact, where it generates economic activity and actually gives the state returns. So it's a very short-sighted view which Treasury has pursued, but they've relentlessly pursued it over a number of years. This is not a new development.
So what is the upshot then if some move is made on the grant? What's going to happen?
No, I mean, there's no way they can do it. I mean, as things stand, the courts have ruled that the exclusion of millions of people is unlawful and unconstitutional, and that the value at which they are rolling it out is also retrogressive because, you know, the same value more or less since 2020 was when it was introduced and has been eaten away by inflation. So you can imagine if they reduced it further or eliminated it, this would mean to lead to some sort of a constitutional crisis, because Section 27 of the Constitution provides that the state must progressively provide for social assistance to those who can't afford, or to those who can't support themselves and their families. And anyone who lives in South Africa knows that we've got over 12 million people unemployed, most of whom have no hope of getting employment in the current situation. So what are you going to replace it with? Mm. And the reality is that in 2021, when Treasury suspended the grant in April 2021 for a few months, we had food riots. I mean, the uprisings around the Jacob Zuma issue were not only, you know, they were socioeconomically related. People were looting for food. So, you know, government must know this and must realize that this is their constituency that the Treasury is proposing to take, you know, absolute lifeline from. It just makes zero sense.
Which, Neil, then brings us to value-added tax. There's the argument that it's the easiest way to raise revenue. You believe it's the worst option for addressing the budget shortfall. One way or another, conventional wisdom is suggesting we are going to see a hike tomorrow.
Let's leave aside the question of, you know, is it fair and is it anti-poor? Let's assume that it's not anti-poor. Is it the most efficient form of tax? We have a very good experiment, which was, the introduction of a 1% VAT increase in 2018. You remember it was 14%, and they increased it to 15%. Mm. Treasury projected that they would achieve over 22 billion rand, and they actually, in the end, achieved about 22 billion less than their projections, only achieved a few hundred million. And that, in part, was because it dampened economic activity. It's an anti-growth measure. So even on their own metrics of efficiency, it is not actually going to achieve that. So why do that when there are multiple other avenues to mobilize resources? And the IEJ and other experts have put forward a range of possibilities to Treasury and to the country. And our understanding is that Cabinet has actually looked at those possibilities that we put forward recently. But the problem is that Treasury refuses to entertain those, including, by the way, the fund that sits in the Reserve Bank, the JAFECRA, which they said they couldn't touch, but now last year they mobilized 150 billion over 3 years to retire debt. So these resources are there. They're massive domestic resources which remain unmobilized. The point is that they're not prepared to touch any of the powerful interests, the interests of the wealthy, in order to mobilize those resources. And if we need to sacrifice to address whatever fiscal challenges, and there is no doubt there are fiscal challenges which are fundamentally premised on a lack of growth, then all of us need to sacrifice equally.
Neil Colbin, thank you very much indeed, co-founder and senior policy specialist at the Institute for Economic Justice.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.